Okay, hopefully you've had a chance to share some stories and get to know one another and hopefully hear some funny stories about the scariest thing you've ever had happen to you. And some of you were victims of your own doings on some of these scary things, probably. I remember when I was a teenager, we had this bridge down the street from our house that had a little lake in it. And it probably was only, or a little river in it, kind of went underneath the bridge. It probably went up probably 3 foot maximum. And I decided one day that it would just be a brilliant idea to dive off of that bridge. I would frequently jump off of it, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to dive in it. And thank God, when I dove off this bridge, the bottom of the riverbed there was basically nothing but that silt stuff that just kind of, you can walk on it, sort of, but you sink down it. And my hands all the way up to my head were, got stuck right in the middle of that silt. And I still remember, I don't think I ever told my parents that, because I thought, you know, if that were bedrock down there, it would have just been all over. But, you know, we've just done some, we've all done some crazy things in our lives, haven't we? And thank God we're all still here, and most of us have all of our body parts left and from all of that. So God is good. Well, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles, follow along with us. Genesis chapter 12 tonight, we're part two of our series called Count the Stars. We're looking at Abraham again. I'm reminded today, I see Vince Medina down here, and I was just reminded that last year about this time we were doing a series called, what is that book called, Vince? Out of Eden, is it? The Epic of Eden, where we talk about these major characters throughout the Bible. And around this time last year, we were talking about Abraham. And what a great character to revisit. And I want to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses, open in a word of prayer, and then go into our Bible study. You'll have to excuse my weak voice tonight. I've been at home all day, actually. It was my goal to make it here tonight. I am not feeling well at all. In fact, I might, right after we're finished, I might slip out a little early. Thanks for understanding that. I don't want to give whatever I have to any of you. And so, thanks for understanding that. Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family." Now, as I said last week, that was no small thing. It kind of reminded you last week that the most important thing in a patriarchal society is, who's your daddy? And if your daddy has status, then you have status. If he has wealth, you're going to have wealth. And so by God coming to him and telling Abram to leave all of these things, he's asking him to leave his entire future that had been paved out, everything that was secure for him, his family. And he tells him to do what? To go to the land that I will show you. So he doesn't give him details. He just tells you, I'm going to show you. And he doesn't give him any particulars. He just says, go. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. So God's not going to ask him to leave something that he's not going to give him. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Father, thank you that we stand here tonight if we are followers of Christ. We stand in the wake of that blessing. Lord, it is through this father of faith, Abraham, that we have faith in Christ. Lord, it was through his line that Christ came as the Savior. Lord, and if we would put our faith in you, much like Abram had to put his faith in this God, Lord, as we put our faith in you, may you transform us into the men and women of God, the men and women of faith that you have called us to be. I pray over the next couple of weeks as we continue to look at this wonderful character that you would do something of great faith in us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, tonight I'd like to look at five characteristics of a person of faith or a faith-filled person. Number one, in Genesis chapter 1, we see the first word that he ever says, God says to Abram, is leave. Or that word could be translated go. But the thought is the same here. Leave everything that is your security. So the first characteristic of a person, a man or woman of faith, is he is willing to leave where he is secure. He's willing to leave that. And when you start to read this whole account, you realize that there was nothing that happened prior to this that earned Abraham this opportunity. God saw something in him, and Abram made himself available. He surrendered to God's plan, and he obeyed. That sounds a lot like salvation, doesn't it? We're confronted, we're convicted by God. We don't know all of the details, and we surrender to that plan. We make ourselves available to his Spirit, and we trust him and we obey him. And one of the points of application I'd like to make here is wherever God is disturbing you the most in your security, the more and more I've thought and prayed about this, the more I've realized where God disturbs you is probably where he is asking you to trust him most. Okay, let's think about some scriptural examples. We get into Exodus, and who's going to speak for God? Moses. It's a man who hated public speaking. We get into the Judges, and there is who's going to lead God's people into military victory? Deborah, a woman not trained as a warrior. Who will be one of the 12 disciples? One of them is named Matthew, a tax collector, a notorious sinner, and yet Jesus comes and calls him to his side. Who will write half of the New Testament books? Paul, a man who destroyed churches and killed Christians. God can use anyone, my friend. God can use anyone. You might think you're too old, or you might think you're too young, you're too busy, you have too much going on in your life, but that is not the characteristic of a man or woman of faith. When this truth really sinks into you that he is calling us to leave where we feel secure, and he's asking us to trust him in that. For example, maybe your greatest area of security is your finances. Maybe you're at a place in life where your finances give you somewhat of a security in life. Can I suggest to you that perhaps this is the area that God is calling you to trust him most in? What if you didn't see your finances as just something for you, but it was something through which God wants to bless other people and to be that kind of generous person? You say, well, I give, and I kind of do the minimum requirement. Well, I want to encourage you to trust him to maybe speak through you and use you where you're gifted. Maybe you say, every time I go home, I walk into my house, and my home gives me such a security. I feel so secure there, and my family and I, we just love it. It's everything that we want. I want to encourage you, have you ever thought about your home as a place for ministry, not just a place to receive security for you and your family, but how can God use that to be a blessing through other people? The second thing is this. He dared to see God's dream for his life. Let's look at it, and let's continue on past verse 3. Verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him, his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Verse 7, this is what I want to focus in on. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. So the second thing is, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, we see that Abram dared to see God's dream for his life. You see, God's not going to bring about this dream. He said, I'm going to give you this land, but God's not going to do it immediately, is he? And that's kind of like the dreams, right, that we have, we all treasure in our heart. They're not microwave. They're more like crock pot. Sometimes the dreams of our life take time. And in chapters 12, right here, and in chapters 22, where is the story of Abraham taking his son Isaac up the mountain, God's directive to Abram falls short of supplying these these really clear directions. He just says, I'm going to point you in the right direction, and I want you to go. And I want you to have faith. See, this is a characteristic of someone, a man or woman of faith. They dare to see God's dreams and they for their lives, and they trust him. I was recently watching this documentary on weapons that the military has, and one of these missiles that the military has is able to be launched miles off of shore. And as long as they have a soldier on the ground that can paint the target with this laser, this missile will eventually find that target. And it's interesting, they kind of illustrated this through what the missile would go through and how it tracks its own course as it's finding its way to this laser-marked target. It's interesting that it would go around things, it would kind of go over mountains, it would go through valleys, it would do whatever it needed to do to find that spot. And as I thought about this illustration, that kind of illustrates what faith is in Christ and faith in God is. Sometimes he tells us to put our faith that God has spoken to you something, and you have to mark that with faith. You may say, I don't see it yet. It has not come to pass, but would you dare to see a dream that God has for you? And would you mark it with faith and just trust God that it's going to come and that God is going to meet that dream? That is the second characteristic of a person of faith. They're daring to see God's dreams for your life. I don't know about you, but I have dreams. I hope you have dreams for your life. I hope most of your life isn't made up of just trying to be successful and earn all the money, but you would have a dream in your life to be significant. I remember when I first gave my heart to Christ is before I had a family, before I was married or, you know, kids or anything like that. I dreamed that one day my entire family would serve God. They would commit their life to him. And slowly we've seen people in my family, both on my parents' side and hopefully my children and their children, you know, will serve God. That God would do something so big in my life, that we, in Daisy's life, that we would transfer that faith for generations to come. That's a dream that we have. Another dream I have is dreams for this church. One dream I have is that every person at Central Assembly would be in a relationship that both challenges them and supports them. I also dream that every person at Central would have some place of ministry, that we would do more than just sit and be a bump on the log, but we would do something for Christ. I mean, if anything, we see in this example of Abram that you can't serve God and sit still. He calls us to go, to leave, start moving. And we don't know all the details, but we try it. And we trust him. Number three, he learns to build altars. Let's go back and look at it in verse 6. Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh, and at that time the area was inhabited by Canaanites. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. Verse 7b. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now let's go on down to verse 8. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar. And what's an altar? An altar is just simply a meeting place with God. And dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages through the Negev. What's interesting about this is all along the way, so God is asking him to trust him, and all along the way, Abram builds these altars, which is a reminder to us that along our journey, we stop and we build altars to the Lord. What does that mean? We stop and we meet with the Lord. He doesn't know all of the details, but God has pointed him in the right direction, and he stops along the way. This is a challenge to us because sometimes we forget along the way that God is with us. Maybe you're here and you're going to school right now, and you feel like, you know, my dream is somewhere far off that, you know, I'm believing God for a great dream. It's not here yet, but I've got to go through, maybe you've said this language, I have to go through this preparation period and before I can get to my dream. And or maybe you're in a time in your life where you don't feel like you're really doing everything that God has called you to do. Maybe you're in a job that you don't really feel like that's your calling. Maybe you're in a place in life where you're like, man, I know that life can be better than this. It's a challenge for us because Abram had not yet received the promise, but he stopped along the way and he built altars, which is a reminder to us that no matter where we are in life, we've got to stop and we build altars. So whether you're in school, you have to see that as worship. You might be along the journey and not at the place where you want to be, but God's calling is on your life. You're following that, but you're not yet there. Don't forget to stop and build altars. And man, that is so important, isn't it? Because if not, we can end up just living in this negative state where, you know, we're just always discontent. And I'm not saying complacent, but I'm saying we're in a place where we are never really stopping along the way and say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me today. And that's what Abram was doing. He was stopping along the way. He learned to build altars. That's the third characteristic. So the first thing is he's willing to leave the security of his life. He dared to see God's dream for his life. He learned to build altars. And number four, he didn't always get it right. This is a funny one. Let's go down to verse 10. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarah, "Look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife, let's kill him, then we can have her.' So please tell them you are my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you." And this is one of those fascinating passages of Scripture where, you know, you're reading along, this is a man of faith, and oh boy, man, I just want to be that kind of man of faith. And then all of a sudden you get to this place where I'm pretty sure he just, you know, fabricated some ruse, some lie to protect his own well-being, right? I mean, that is exactly what just happened. And, you know, the fourth characteristic of a man or woman of faith, I just want to put this in there. They don't always get it right. They don't always get it right. There's this famine in Canaan. They went to Egypt for food. Abraham was scared he'd be killed because Sarah, his wife, was so beautiful. So he planned to deceive the Egyptians by telling everyone that she was his sister. You know, when we're growing in faith, sometimes we don't get it right, do we? Sometimes we have setbacks. But when we have setbacks, we don't stop following God. Some of my deepest and dearest friends have been through painful things in their lives. I've seen ministers, friends of mine, go through horrific things, challenges in their marriages, challenges in their churches, wanting to throw in the towel. But you know what? It's not about when you confront something, maybe you don't get something right. The worst possible thing you could do is throw in the towel and stop following God. The question is always, how can I move on from here? Because the call is still to leave, to go, and to trust God. You know what? He deceived these Egyptians. And eventually what happened? I mean, the Pharaoh reads right through it. I mean, he starts, things start happening to his whole household. And he catches Abraham in this lie. And so he says, okay, and then he leaves. Which, interestingly enough, what did God say to him in the promise? You know, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So we can't see this as even so much as Pharaoh's benevolence of letting Abraham go, but it's God's protection over him, which is so important because when we don't get it right, if we will stay committed to the Lord, remember last week I talked about it's the covenant. He says, if you will follow me, then I will bless you. You're not going to get it right, but you renew your faith in Christ, and you keep walking with him. You don't stop following God just because you don't get it right sometimes. Now, finally, the fifth characteristic of a man or woman of faith. I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 13, the next chapter. Let's go down and look at verse 14 through 17. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring. Verse 16, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. Now, if you scroll back up to the top of that chapter in chapter 13, what you'll see here in verse 8, Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling. Abraham and Lot, they get back together, and Lot has a lot of possessions. Abram comes to the conclusion that the land can't support them. So he tells his nephew, let's not have any quarreling between us or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. And then look at it in verse 9. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now look at this. I think this is fascinating. Lot looked around in verse 10 and saw the whole plain of Jordan toward Zorah was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So this decision, Lot, that's basically a tip-off to us that this decision Lot's about to make isn't a good long-term investment, if you would. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. So what is this saying? Okay, so Lot sees this land that is flush with, it's green, it looks fertile. And where does that leave Abram? It's the desert, man. There's nothing there. And so what happens? The two men parted company in verse 12. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Very interesting. The last characteristic I want to talk to you about is God gives you the ability to see what you can't see with your natural eyes. God is challenging Abraham to trust him that where he's sending him is going to be the land for his children in the future of Israel. But you're standing at this point with his nephew. He's standing there and he looks to the left and you see this one area and you're kind of like, man, I just hope my nephew doesn't choose that. I mean, which one would you choose? And Abram trusts the Lord that wherever his nephew chooses, the other one is the place where God is sending him. And what does it look like? It looks like a complete desert, a wasteland. And that's one of the characteristics of a man of faith, that God will give you the ability to see what you can't see with your natural eyes. Lot took the land that looked good. Abraham followed God into the desert with nothing but a dream and a promise from the Lord. Doesn't this remind you of something Jesus said? It's one of these verses that always makes me scratch my head. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Let's apply that to our lives real quick. And there are times when I'm praying for something, and we do not yet see it. What is this verse saying? That verse is saying that faith in God will give you the ability to see something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. But we pray and we believe that it will come to pass. We believe that we have received that answer and it will be yours. Many of you have maybe friends who you've prayed for a long time, maybe family members, and you've had the opportunity of seeing them come to faith. And do you remember praying at times where you said, Lord, I thank you that this is going to happen. I don't see it yet. I don't see how we're going to do this. But Lord, I thank you that you've called us to it. We're just going to trust you with all the details. I remember praying that for my own father and mother. I remember praying that for other friends, for people who've come up through the church, who've given their lives to God. Some days you just wonder, man, I don't know how that person's going to make it. They come from a rough background. They have no one supporting them in their faith. And it just seems like they have everything against them. But you know what? God is faithful. And God will see them through. So let's apply this to our lives tonight. And I want you to do that by looking at these questions that I've put on your table tonight. And these questions are basically discussion questions for tonight. We want to give you plenty of opportunity to sit and to talk with these, talk about these questions with your friends. The first one is just Abraham and Sarah were called by God and they followed him in faith. And I want you to tell about a time God called you to take a step of faith. How did you respond to that step of faith? And how did that step turn out? This is important for us to really see ourselves in Abraham's story. Because he tells him, would you just look at the dust on the ground? If you can count the stars, that's going to be your descendants. And he doesn't even have a son yet. And yet God is telling Abram to trust him. And that's the heart of what is at the core of this study tonight. Those characteristics, again, he's willing to leave where they feel secure. Man or woman of faith dares to see God's dreams for their lives. They learn to build altars. They don't always get it right. And God gives you the ability to see what you cannot see with your natural eyes.